keep you in. Belle Voyage, written for suspense by Murray Burnett. I looked at my watch. It was 6:16, Friday evening. I knew I had exactly 17 minutes before Hank Wilson, the night watchman of the bank, would be somewhere near the front door. I took a quick look around the office, turned the nameplate which said Alex Thompson face down on my desk, and closed the ledger on the Garrison estate for the last time. Then I opened the box containing my new sports jacket, took out the jacket, opened the right-hand drawer of my desk, and proceeded to fill the box with bundles of crisp new banknotes totaling $200,000. I packed them neatly in the box, getting a tremendous surge of satisfaction as each bundle slipped into place. Each bundle represented a neat withdrawal from the Garrison estate, which I was handling for the interest guarantee instruction. A withdrawal which would take them a few months to unravel when I didn't return for my 2-week vacation. I carefully tied the twine around the suit box exactly as it had been tied. As I put on the exceptionally loud sports jacket the box had contained, I glanced again at my watch. My watch. I walked over to the closet door, opened it, and looked at myself in the mirror. I knew to see it, but I couldn't resist patting myself on the back. The jacket covered my business suit jacket perfectly. No one could see that I was wearing a jacket over it. And then, satisfied that I had left no loose ends, I closed the closet door, turned, walked to my office door, opened it, and started down the long corridor leading to the street, and escaped for me with $200,000. I looked at my watch again. It was 6:29. I was 4 minutes early, but Hank would be within earshot. I decided I couldn't wait.
Hank! Hank!
Come in, Mr. Thompson.
As I heard him start down the corridor toward me, his footsteps kept time with my heart. I had faked everything in my knowledge of Hank Wilson's habits. But I knew he was supposed to look in the box that I carried under my arm.
In just a moment, we will return for the second act of Suspense. Thirsty people everywhere prefer ice cold Pepsi Cola, and because it's light, it refreshes without filling. I am, Kay. Pepsi is a favorite of thirsty people from Maine to Hawaii, from Alaska to Florida. It's perfect for parties or picnics. So serve Pepsi to your guests. This is the sociable part. Keep plenty of Pepsi ice cold and ready. Remember, it goes fast because everybody likes Pepsi.
Hey,
but singing doesn't say, pick up an extra carton of Pepsi today. Better yet, get a case.
Mr. Thompson.
How's it, Hank? All set for your vacation?
Mm-hmm.
On the same place you did last year up at the race.
Same place?
Place and kit, too.
All right, up there.
Think after 5 years I'd be able to put my hand on the red key fast, wouldn't you? I see you're in sort of a hurry.
That's all right, Hank. I've got time.
Look, Mr. Thompson, you can't kid me.
What do you mean?
I've been around here too long not to know exactly what goes on. I know how anxious you are to get out of this place and up to the lake.
Oh, well, Hank, I guess I have to admit that you're right.
Yes, Sonny. Hey, just a minute.
Okay?
Just. Put together.
Huh? It could be $200,000.
Maybe $1 million.
Could be.
You know the rules.
Yes, 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 I know them. You're supposed to examine every package going out of here.
That's my job. Bet I've seen your old jacket often enough. Hey, looking at that new one you're wearing blinds me.
No, you still don't approve, huh?
Look, everybody to his own taste, I always say. But that is a wild jacket for you, Mr. Thompson.
Well, I'll open it if you want. Let you take a peek at my other jacket.
Oh, you know, I was just kidding. You're okay, Mr. Thompson.
Whatever you say.
Like I said before, I've been around here too long not to know just what goes on. You're just lucky Bill Hagen isn't on duty tonight.
Oh, don't think I don't know it.
Bill's a stickler for all the rules. I don't have to tell you. You know how old Bill is.
Oh, yes. Yes, I know just how he
is. Well, so long, Mr. Thompson. Have yourself a real good vacation.
Now, thank you, Hank. I'm sure I will. I walked into the night. A box containing $200,000. Under my arm. I looked at my watch. 6:33. Plenty of time. 11 minutes to half hour into the cab. 10 minutes more to clean up the apartment, pick up my luggage, transfer the money to a special case I had made for it. And even with traffic, not more than 27 minutes to the dock and the steamship Concordia, which is waiting to take me to a brand new and wonderful life.
Attention, please. All ashore
and steering
ashore.
I looked out over the scene from the very topmost deck of the Concordia, liking everything I saw, thinking that in a very few minutes the city would be lost to view in the little wisps of fog that were already beginning to curl about the deck. And as I looked, Celia came walking down the deck. And as always, when I saw her, she created a moment of excitement. She stood a few feet away from me, and then she said,
"Exciting, isn't it? It's exciting, sailing.
And it's something to live for, a moment like this."
"Is it?
Yes, very good.
Then I can't ask you if that picture means you're sailing."
"But I imagine it's a warning.
I won't believe it until you're actually moving."
"No, it will be in a few minutes."
"A few minutes. I still can't believe that in only a few minutes those buildings and city will slide away from me."
"And you won't be sorry?"
"No. No. I'm sorry."
"Celia, Celia, who you are. What do you do? I tell you.
You're alone. There's no one but us here on the ship."
"Look, we are not supposed to know each other. We're to meet casually aboard ship. Now, that is the way I planned it."
"I have to know. Is everything all right?"
"Everything is fine."
"You're sure?"
"Yes, fine. Everything is fine."
"But I don't mean just the money. Your wife and son."
"Look, I have told you. I have done all that I can for them. Now, that is settled."
"And you're not sorry? No regrets?"
"No, no regrets. For the past 5 years, I have been mixing up the books of the Garrison estate, so that I could take $200,000 in cash and be sure that the cleverest bookkeeper will take months to unravel it. But when I made this decision, I worked everything out. Every detail perfect. Now nothing is going to spoil it now."
"You're on our way. Just two strangers meeting aboard ship."
"Meeting a little prematurely, perhaps."
"There's nothing wrong with that. You're talking about the sailing. You don't know each other."
"Well, then let's keep it that way, shall we?"
"What?"
"This is strictly a vacation. Now, as soon as we sail, we should arrange about our tables in the dining room."
"Aren't you going to sit at the same table?"
"No, no. It is care that pays off. It's the little things that contribute."
"It's all right, Alex. Anything you say."
"Celia. Celia, I love you. And we are going to have a life that we want. But only if we remember that it is the little things that count. The tiniest little things. It's because I was so careful, so exacting about every detail that we got this far. Because I figured everything out. Because I..."
"Alex, what is it?"
"Oh, no.
Alec, what's wrong?"
"A little thing, a tiny, stupid little thing."
"What thing, Alec? Tell me, please."
"What can I do? What can I do?
What is it?
What?
What's the matter?"
"What's the matter? I just happened to think of it. Last night at my apartment, I was checking over everything for the last and final time. And I put it down on a piece of scrap paper. And then I threw the paper in the basket."
"That paper, what did you put on it?"
"The cost of our tickets for this trip."
"But only that? You gave me a terrible scare. I couldn't imagine."
"You don't understand. They'll search my apartment. When they find the money missing from the office, they'll search everywhere. And they will find that little piece of paper."
"But there are only numbers on it. No one will know what they mean."
"The police will. They will figure out exactly what those numbers mean. The price of 2 one-way trips to France."
"By that time, you'll be safe."
"Not as safe as I'd planned. As soon as they find out that we went to France, they're halfway to it. According to my figuring, it would have taken them a month to know that we went first to France.
Now that piece of paper won't have to be wrong, Alan. Maybe you forgot. Maybe you tore it up or burnt it.
No. It's in that basket.
Why did I do such a stupid thing? All of your thing like that, just a rotten little thing.
Attention, all passengers. Due to the fog, the sailing has been delayed 3 hours.
Alan,
any passenger wishing to go ashore may do so, but must be back aboard at least 1 hour before sailing time.
2 hours?
No, Alan.
2 hours?
Please, say, look, don't try it. I see.
Why not? I can get that paper and be back here before...
It's wrong.
It couldn't be more right for us. 2 hours. Plenty of time. 2 hours. Celia, I am just going to the apartment and I'll be right back.
In a moment, we will return for the third act of Suspense. Now here's Ed Durgan and Charlie McCarthy.
They invited you, Dr. Finer.
I want to talk to that farmer.
Oh, mister. You called me?
Mortimer Smith.
That's me.
Are there any General Motors dealers around here?
Nobody left some Chevrolet, Pontiac, Mercedes, Buick, and Cadillac dealers, though, and some Chevy and GM truck dealers, too.
Well, Mortimer, those are all General Motors dealers.
No! Well, what do you want to see them all for?
Well, I only want to see one for Guardian Maintenance.
Do they make that car, too?
No, that's a service that's available only at General Motors Dealers Service Department, or D.
Yes.
And right now, they're seeking complete lubrication. Quality appearance services, first adjustments, and front-end inspections. It's quality work performed by GM Crane servicemen at a fair price.
So well, that makes good sense easy to me.
I was lucky. Everything worked as planned. I congratulated myself for not throwing away the keys to my apartment when I left. I was going to reserve that pleasure until we were far out at sea. I opened the door, and as soon as I did, I knew that something was wrong. The light was on.
Hello? It's so much tomorrow, Alison, but why, absolutely right. Were you frightened because all the lights were on?
Helen, I...
Are you all right, dear?
All right?
Yes. Well, what are you doing here? Why...
I left Ted to see Francis alone. I thought I'd keep you company in the trip up there tomorrow. It's a surprise, isn't it, Al?
Yes, Alan, it is quite a surprise.
You sure you're all right?
Yes.
There's nothing wrong.
But if you stop asking me the same thing over and over, I'm all right. There's nothing wrong. I'm all right.
You don't want to start, Al. Hey, why are you looking at your wife?
I am not shouting. I just didn't expect to find you here, that's all.
You sound like you're sorry.
Believe me, it's not that.
Then why?
Well, Helen, you shouldn't have left Ted up at the lake alone. You ought to get on the next train going back there.
Ted's in good hands.
The stranger.
Friends, I told you, George and Edna Summers. Now, you know how fond they are of Ted.
Just a second.
Oh, you're such a worrier. Concerned about the littlest thing.
Well, you can't be too careful.
It's all right. You stop worrying about him. When you get up to the lake tomorrow, you'll see him.
Helen.
Yes?
Helen, I'm not going with you tomorrow.
What?
You'll have to go without him.
Look. Then there is something wrong. Now, what is it, Al?
Well, I haven't got all night to stand here and answer ridiculous questions.
Look, now, maybe you'll feel better after a cup of coffee. I got some on the
No, I don't want it. Yes, Helen, maybe you're right. Coffee would be, a good idea, I guess.
I have an idea now. It would take a little while to prepare the coffee. And reach was out of the room. I went right to my desk, got the waste paper I had hidden underneath it, and started to look through it. It wasn't fair. I looked at my watch again. It stood all right. I had an hour. The time was getting close. And while I was still looking through the basket, Helen came back.
Oh, that's what you're
doing. Did you take something out of the basket?
No. Now, here's a carpet. Well, what are you looking for?
Only a piece of paper with figures on it. You sure you didn't see it around?
Positive. Now, what can be so important about a piece of paper?
Because it's important. Wait a minute. Here it is, under the desk.
That's what you wanted?
Yes.
Oh, thank goodness. I mean, you'll sit down and have your coffee and tea.
What?
Well, why do you keep looking at your watch?
I have an appointment.
I want to know what's going on.
Nothing is going on. I just didn't expect you home, so I made an appointment.
I don't mean just that. You said you're not going up to the lake tomorrow. Well, why? And that piece of paper you're so frantic about. Alec, what is it?
All right, Helen. I guess I might as well tell you everything now. There is something going on. It's the office.
But you're on vacation.
Well, it's 8:20, and I have an appointment.
That's home.
But the man who's talking about going into the investment business with me, and I'm supposed to spend the weekend with him at his place out on the island.
Never mentioned it before.
But a deal that I've been working on for a long time. I didn't want to say anything until it was all set.
You wanted to surprise me?
Yes. I've been on edge about it, too. That's why I was upset when I found you here.
And a piece of paper?
They are confidential figures that I needed.
Well, I won't say I'm not disappointed, but the deal means so much.
It means everything. My one big chance. If this falls through, I'll never have another. I know that. If I fail now, I'll be stuck the rest of my life. And Helen, look, just in case, I don't get up to the lake by Monday. Don't you worry.
But you said the week.
Well, it may take longer. I sent you a letter up at the lake telling you all about it. You would have gotten it in the morning. I didn't want you to think that something had happened to me when I didn't show up tomorrow.
But
Helen,
I...
Helen, trust me. Believe me.
But why shouldn't I tell...
Helen. I absolutely cannot be late. No, let me... Hello. I'm just leaving. Yes, I found it. No, nothing to worry about.
Who is it?
Well, that's right, Mr. Sanders. I'll be there on time. I'm sorry to rush out, darling, but believe me, this is vital. I was on the street. I had over 50 minutes to get to the boat. The telltale slip of paper was in my pocket. There was no cab around. Right next door was a bar. But I had time for a drink. I needed one. I looked in. There was only one other customer. That was perfect. I went in. Brandy, please, and I'm in a hurry.
Okay, Brandy.
Now, where are you?
90 cents.
Thank you, change. Thanks.
Just a second.
All right, excuse me.
Hold it again. Get your hands on the fire. You guessed it?
Now, look, I've got to get out of here. Take my money, but let me go.
The guy with the gun gives the orders now. Relax and hand over your wallet.
All right, but just give me money for cab fare.
You're nervous.
You please, give me a break.
I'm giving it to you. Being hurt? Now, both of you, take off your pants.
What?
I don't need no trouble. Off of your pants and lay down on the floor. I don't want to be in no hurry. I walk out of here.
Now, listen to me. I am sailing to Europe. Look, here is my passport. I have to make a boat.
This is one boat you're going to miss.
I can't. Now, look, how much did you make it here? A couple of $100?
That is good as that. You only have 70 in your wallet.
Well, I'll give you $1,000.
What?
I swear it. I will give you $1,000 if you'll just come to the boat with me.
How do I know you're on the level?
Not here. Here, this is the whole of my passport. Here, take it. But please... Let's get out of here and get a cab. I have got to make that boat.
$1,000?
I promise you. So we have got to get there before the boat sails, or else I won't have the money.
Okay, pal. You've got a deal.
In just a moment, we will return for the concluding act of...
You know, that's a favorite occupation these summer days, munching Tito's corn chips. There's nothing else like them. No other kind of chip that can match Tito's crisp, refreshing flavor. Tito's are made to munch. By the bagful or with salad, sandwiches, and long tall drinks. They have just the right taste and texture contrast to make good food or ice drinks taste even better. Children love them. And they are really helpful, nourishing between-meal snack in summer. Grown-ups find their contentment in every munch of Tito's corn chips. Their special flavor is really satisfying. Get a bag today. F-R-I-T-O-S. Tito's corn chips.
Out of the bar. The man with the gun wouldn't run. I looked at my watch. 46 minutes. Well, there was plenty of time. Half hour, the boat, the most. Then there'd be time to get him on board, give him his 1,000, get rid of him. I even began to enjoy the situation. It wasn't likely that he'd report anything to the police. Well, we made good time. And then, we were in my stateroom.
Okay, pal. Where is it?
Right here. I'll get it for you. You open this bag.
Never mind. Just hand me the bag.
What?
I said just hand me the bag.
But you want the $1,000, but then where? I have to take it out.
I'll take your word for it, pal. Just hand over the bag.
Look. Well, wait a minute. You
can't take it. Now, listen, Blow. The sound of any shot. Now, are you going to give me the bag? All right, here. There it is. Hey. Good being here. Come on. On voyage.
But you were going to stop it. You were going to call...
Yes, I was, but how do I do it? Do I tell the purser or the captain that there's $200,000 in cash in the bag that that man is taking off the ship? Not a failure. We're trapped.
By Murray Burnett. In a moment, the names of our players and the word about next week's story of Suspense.
Hi, this is Dennis Kane. Say, remember way back when this melody was popular? Years now, it's been America's most popular good food way to fight irregularity from lack of bulk. Because it's whole brand, Kellogg's All Brand battles away irregularity safely and reliably. And because it's deep toasted for extra crispness, it never gets mushy in milk. There's only one All Brand, Kellogg's All Brand. That's A-L-L-B-R-A-N. Kellogg's All. To my story where Bob Reddick is Alex and Rita Lloyd as Celia, with Mary Moore as Helen, and Joseph Julian, Dan Ocko, and Alan Manson. Listen again next week when we return with Reports from a Dead Planet by George Bamber, another tale well calculated to keep you in...